Teresa, and we're in the studio here with my very, very special guest, Dr. Luana Steins, with A Touch From Above, a new program here on K-Right Radio that airs weekdays at 4 p.m. We're so excited to have you join us in the studio today. How was the drive from Ramona?
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Teresa, for having us. Thank you. Well, the drive was pretty good. We left at 8:30, didn't have no problem. The traffic was pretty easy, and whew, I was glad.
Beautiful, beautiful. Before we get started, will you lead us in prayer?
Yes, thank you. Father, we want to thank you so much for this awesome, amazing opportunity and this beautiful day. This is a day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we come humbly before thy throne and we ask you, Lord God, just to encourage every listener, everyone that is listening. We pray your blessing. We pray healing. We pray comfort. We pray peace over every listener. And Father, we thank you so much for K-Bright Radio, Lord God. Your name is whispered on the wings of the wind, oh God. Thank you so much for everything that you're doing. Bless Teresa, Lord God, as we share our testimonies and our hearts today. And Father, touch the heart of every listener. And Jesus, be glorified. Amen.
Amen. Dr. Luana, congratulations on launching A Touch From Above here on K-Right Radio. What inspired you to start this program, and what do you hope listeners will experience?
I'm glad you asked that question. You know, the beginning of the year before last, you know, we have not only A Touch From Above, but our prayer mountain. So we have 25 beautiful acres in Ramona, California. And while I was praying, the Holy Spirit really put in my heart that he was going to open up radio. And, you know, I'm building a prayer mountain. I'm thinking, radio, how am I going to do that? But, you know, God always has a bigger plan than our own. And sure enough, I thought about K-Bright and I thought, well, you know what? I don't know anything about that. Let me just call. And what I was praying specifically for was, Lord, if you want us on the radio, give us a drive time so that we can reach those that are driving, those that are at home, those that are maybe at work, the single mom, the homeless person. Lord, yes. We want to have the ear of as many people as we can. My heartbeat is for America, and we are in great need for the gospel message to go out. Yes. And I love bold, righteous truth. I said, yes, let's do it.
Yes, absolutely. You could not have said that any better. And by the way, that was not scripted. I did not pay her to say that. She literally just knows exactly what's on our hearts and minds here in the studio. You've been in ministry for over 31 years and have received an honorary doctorate from the Interdenominational Ministries International Bible College and Seminary. What was that like?
You know, I was in the middle of a tent revival, actually. I was in the middle of a tent revival in Vista, California. We had traveled across the U.S. With Mission America. It's one of my books, actually, Mission America. And we preached the gospel from here all the way to Atlanta, all the way back, reloaded, went all the up the West Coast, went to every single state capital in the United States of America. And then we came back to Vista, and I had a tent meeting, and lo and behold, the wonderful president of that university came to the tent meeting. I had no idea this was going to happen. And that day, at the end of the 7-day tent revival, they said, could we have a minute at the microphone? And of course, at that time, we had just finished baptizing like 20-some people. Wow. In a horse trough. So many people got saved at the tent meeting. It was 7 days. And they shocked me, and they gave me, they said, we've been following your ministry. I've actually been in ministry for 43 years. And I know it's probably old news on my website.
It is old news. My apologies. 31 and 43 is a big difference.
No worries. So they called me up there and they shocked me. And I was in tears. I was absolutely in tears. They said, we want to give you this honorary degree. We appreciate your ministry. We have followed you for years. And God is with you and his anointing is on you. And I just broke down in tears. Our team broke down in tears. And I just was in shock. Wow. So that's how it all happened.
That's so beautiful. Tents. There's so many tent stories. That's so cool. I could imagine what it's like to worship in a tent. We don't do that often now, but revival is here in California.
Yes.
Absolutely, right? Mm-hmm. Can you share a bit about your faith journey and how it influences the messages you bring to the show now?
You know, I think I was born for this time, and I say that humbly. I would love to tell you that I came from a good Christian family, but I never went to church. Our whole family never went to church. I was in an orphanage when I was younger. My mom had been married and divorced 8 times, not including all her boyfriends in between. My dad, I didn't know him. He came, I think, twice, and I think it was for 5 minutes that I got to talk to him. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't realize all of this God was going to use. And of course, I wasn't a Christian at the time. So I had a lot of rejection. I had a lot of brokenness. The chaos that was in our home growing up, my mom in between husbands and boyfriends. And I ran away at a really young age, actually 12 and a half, because of the abuse that was happening in our home. And I ended up in a detention center at 12 and a half, 13 years old. And I remember just being so angry, so broken. And, you know, at that time, one of my stepfathers said, "She's a child in need of supervision." Well, the only reason I was running away is from the abuse of him. But I was so insecure, I couldn't share that, I couldn't say anything. But God always has a plan. And from there, from Zebulon Pike Detention Center, I ended up getting in a fight in there, ended up in another place that was like a detention center. And it was Morrison, which was like a woman's prison, believe it or not. And I was in there 14, 15. Then they took me out of there and put me in another place called CYC, Colorado Youth Center. I was in Colorado Springs in Denver at that time. And there was so much hurt inside. But after all those years, they finally said, "Okay, you can get out." Well, where am I going to go? My dad doesn't want me. My mom doesn't really want me. But anyway, I called my mom and I said, "Mom, I get to get out." And she was in between husbands. So yay, it was okay. So she came to pick me up and it didn't last too long. I got a job. I was young. And then it just got really difficult. She was in between that stage. You know, God bless my mom. Just to let you know, I got to pray with my mom 2 days before she died. I got to lead her to Christ. So we will be in heaven together. And we will not remember any of the things that we went through. But I got out, made it at home for about 6 months before she got upset and said, "Call back to the CYC Colorado Youth Center. You're going back." And I said, "I'm not going back. No." So she said, "Okay." And I ended up in a forced marriage at 15 and a half. And it was very hard. I was a little girl. I'd never been with anybody. I didn't know how to love. I didn't know anything about, I'm a little girl. How in the world am I going to be a wife?
I didn't know that was legal at 15.
Well, I have to tell you, we went to the first court. My mom took us to the first court, got our marriage license. We went to the first court and the judge that was going to marry us looked at me. I was in tears. And so the judge is looking, he's kind of, you know, the husband was older. At that time, he looks at him, looks at me, sees that I'm about to break down.
Yeah.
And he stops in the middle of it. He looks at my mom. We picked up a couple people to stand up, quote unquote, for the maid of honor or whatever to sign on the marriage license. And the judge looks at me and he goes, "Something ain't right here."
Yeah.
And he says, and he looks at me and he goes, "Do you want to do this?" And I just looked at him and froze because I knew my mom was right behind me and I couldn't say anything. And then he just pushed the license away and he says, "Nope, I can't do it."
No way.
So my mom reached over, grabbed the license, got upset. We went down the street. She forged my license and my birth certificate. And she took me to another place and said, "You know what? Don't cry. Straighten up. and you're going to get married. And sure enough, we set another date and we ended up in another town and I ended up getting married and it was terrible. It was terrible. I'd love to tell you it was great. And with marriage, of course, you're young, you don't know anything, you're just kind of naive. I ended up having my first child, my son. I was so broken. I didn't know what love was. I didn't know anything. Years later, it was not even a year later, actually, my phone was ringing. My husband was having an affair with different women, and it got to a place where it's like, your girlfriend wants you here. Ring, the phone would ring. Hello? Oh, yes, I said, here, your girlfriend wants you. I mean, that's how naive I was. And I was so broken. And now remember, I'm not saved. I don't know anything about Jesus. I don't know anything about the Bible. I've never heard about God. I've never heard about the Bible. And so now I've been married almost 7 years. I am so angry inside. And I thought, you know, I didn't realize. I thought I was ugly. I thought I was worthless. I thought I was no good. And one day I thought, you know what? I was stayed at home all the time. I taught myself how to drive. And by putting it in reverse and driving up a hill, we had a 60-some old, the Batmobile, I used to call it.
Oh, my goodness.
And taught myself how to drive. And then one day I went to Kmart and I found this Cosmopolitan book. I know, ladies, don't pick up a Cosmopolitan book. Trust me. But I was broken and I thought, you know what? I've got to do something. So I picked up the book and I went and got me some makeup. I never had know how to put on makeup. And I dolled myself all up and I went and looked at the stupid magazine covers and went and got me a short skirt and some high heel shoes. And I said, what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Oh my goodness.
And at that time I had my son. He was really young. And my husband, he would always go out with his friends. So he came home one day from work and I waited at the door. He didn't even know I taught myself how to drive. And he walked into the door and he put the keys on the hook. I grabbed the keys, put my son in his hand. I said, two can do this. He was shocked. First of all, he had never seen me dressed like that.
Oh, wow.
And he goes, what are you doing? I said, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Goodbye. I'm going out. And I got in the car. His mouth was wide open. And I got in the car.
He's so shocked right now. He's like, what just slapped me in the face?
Exactly. I take off. And now remember, I've never really been out anywhere.
Sure.
But I'm going to go to the club. I'm going to go out. You know, when you're not saved, you just do stupid things. Mm-hmm. And you're asking what brought me to where I'm at today. And I had no idea. I walked into a bar. And I'm standing there. I don't even know what to do. I've never been to a bar. I've never been to the club. And this guy came up to me and said, what are you doing here? You don't belong here. And I looked at him and said, it's none of your business. You know, what do you care?
Yeah.
And he goes, you don't belong in a place like this. And I said, who are you to tell? Anyway, long story short, he said, you know what? Why don't you follow me? Let's go have coffee down at Denny's. And like I did. I went and had coffee with him. And I was so angry. By this time, my husband had had affair after affair after affair. And I was so broken. And I'm sitting here having coffee with this stranger. Mm. And I made a stupid decision. I went home with him that night. And I'm going to be transparent here. And I felt like trash. I went back home. I took a shower. I felt worthless. Mm. I felt like I was no good. I didn't say anything. I could feel myself closing off. And I just went on like nothing had happened. And a couple months later, I get a phone call. And they said, come and see your husband. I think he's drunk. Well, he wasn't drunk. I didn't know this. He had been having an affair with a married woman. Her husband came home, caught him, and killed him. And I was, you know, it just rejection on top of rejection on top of rejection on top of rejection. And I remember thinking, what? And I mean, you got to remember, I'm still young. I'm not even 20-some years old. I'm a baby still. And now here I am with my son. And, you know, in a couple months pass, and now I'm just getting sick. And my mom came to see me. She thought I was having a nervous breakdown. Yeah. She said, you know what? We need to take you to the doctor. I think you're having a nervous breakdown. Well, I would like to tell you it was a nervous breakdown, but it wasn't, thank God. I went to the doctor, had some tests done, and the doctor came out. He has no clue what's happened. And he goes, congratulations.
You're pregnant.
You're going to have a baby. And it's like, I didn't say anything. My mom pulls the doctor aside and goes, oh my goodness, her husband just passed away. You know, and I was shocked because I knew it wasn't his.
Oh, goodness.
But I was so broken and I was so guilty and I was so full of shame. I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything to anyone. And I lived with that guilt and I lived with that shame for several years. And then I thought, you know what? Forget it. I don't need anybody. I'm going to pull my own self up by my own bootstraps. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to be an attorney. I'm going to go to college. You know, I'm going to make lots of money. I'm going to buy a house. I'm going to buy a fancy car. And, you know, and I just went hog wild in my head. And so I did. And then one day, but at the same time, I'm trying to go to school. I have two kids. My baby now is born. And now I have two. So here I am trying to go to work. I'm working at First Cafeteria, the place. And I'm working at Burger King. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. Special orders don't upset us. I'm working at all these different restaurants. And I'm trying to hold the things up. And I'm inside. I'm falling apart and nobody knows it. And one day this couple came into First Cafeteria and this guy and his wife, they were so sweet. They kept looking at me and I got, gosh, you guys got a problem? What's wrong with you? Because I was so insecure. And then one day they came back in, he called me, he said, come here. And I said, yes, can I help you, sir? And he said, you know what? He said, you're a hard worker. I said, I have to. I have two mouths to feed. He said, have you ever thought about going to barber college? I looked at him. I said, barber college? I said, no, I want to be an attorney. He said, I tell you what, why don't you go to barber college? You make lots of money and then continue on and get your law degree. So I thought, that's a good idea. And he goes, we own a barber college. We'll help you. So guess what I did? I went to barber college. I didn't realize he was a... Have you ever heard of Adele Sassoon?
Yes.
And all these top...
Adele Sassoon, huh?
Yeah, all these top places for hair shows. He said, you know what? My wife and I are competing for a world competition in Japan.
Wow.
He said, you really have a gift. And I thought, a gift in hair? Are you kidding? So anyway, he began to train me.
Uh-huh.
And he said, you have to win Colorado First State Hair Competition. And I never even heard of hair competitions, but lo and behold, I'm going to Denver doing a hair competition. And by the grace of God, when I look back, I think, God, you're amazing. I won second and third place for Colorado. Then he said, you have to, since you came into that, now you have to win first or second place for the United States of America. So I thought, this is all insane. Anyway, long story short, they ended up introducing me to cocaine. Because I was very insecure when I would get high on cocaine. Sorry, guys, but I'm going to be transparent with you today. I would be able to speak. And then they said the next competition is in St. Louis for the United States. So I went to St. Louis and I won second place United States state competition for the United States of America. And I had my trophies, came back. And then they said, we're going to train you for the world comp. Well, this is where God said, I'm going to hit you off at the pass. So while I was preparing for the competition for Japan, I was going to the 7-Eleven store, walking out with a cigarette in one hand, a beer in another, and a gram of cocaine in my pocket. And some girl across the counter kept looking at me. And I thought, what is your problem? And I grab my cigarettes, walk out the door, go to my car. She follows me to my car and I get in my car. I grab my cigarettes. I open my cigarettes real quick, lit up a cigarette. She knocks on my passenger, my driver's window. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking up at her and I said, I rolled down my window about an inch and I blow the smoke in her face. I said, excuse me. She goes, you know what? I want to tell you about Jesus. And I looked at her. I said, honey, I've been to hell and back. They kicked me out for selling ass water. I don't want to hear it. And I rolled back up my window and then she knocked again. And I thought, if she knocks again, you got to remember, I was so angry inside. I had been through so much my whole life. And she knocked on that window the third time. I jumped out of the car. I got up about 5 inches from her face and I said, what is your problem? I said, what is it that you don't understand? The N or the O? And I said, you know what? I don't know any. What are you doing? And she says, I want you to know about Jesus. You think I'm going to let you get out of this parking lot, Luana? She said my name. And I looked at her. I said, I don't know any Jesus freak. She goes, you don't remember me, do you? I said, I don't remember you. She goes, remember my sister, Mary Lou? I said, yes. I said, are you Maria? 5 years before that, her sister, Mary Lou, was a good friend of mine. She had shot herself with a .38. Well, Maria was a heroin addict. So at that time, I was going to school, making money, doing this, doing that. So I thought she was a loser. I didn't realize I was just as bad as a loser. I was doing cocaine. She was doing heroin. And, you know, I looked at her and I said, are you Maria? Oh, my gosh, what happened to you? She said, Jesus changed my life right after Mary Lou's funeral. She goes, I've been praying for you for 5 years. She goes, when I saw you today, do you think I'm going to let you get out of this parking lot without telling you about Jesus? Well, I would like to tell you I received Jesus that day, but I patted her on the shoulder. Arrogant, P-R-I-D-E, pride. I patted her on the shoulder and I said, oh, that's good. I'm glad you found something. You needed it. And she looked at me and she just smiled and said, listen, so do you. And she told me about this little church on the corner of Boulder and Weber. I'll never forget that. And she said, listen, Jesus loves you and he wants to be your Lord and Savior and he's your answer. And if you would just give Jesus a chance. And I said, I don't want to hear it. I'm not religious. No, thank you. And I went to get in my car and she said, wait a minute. If you ever need a change in your life on the corner of Boulder and Weber, Jesus is Lord and lives are being changed. Come on out. Well, 6.5 to 8 months later, God got my attention. And I remember sitting on my couch, just broken. And I had never prayed. Got to remember, I'm not religious. I never went to church. I never prayed, never had a Bible, didn't know the book of Psalms. I didn't know it wasn't the book of Palms. I didn't know the first time I opened up to the book of Job. I didn't know it was not Job, you know. So all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, and that night was the first night I didn't even know how to pray. I said, I don't know what kind of God you are, but if you're up there, I need to know you. And if you're really real, and then, of course, I was not saved. So I said, I'm going to give you one blankety blank chance. And if you don't reveal who you are to me, I will never ask you ever again. I'm telling you, Teresa, I don't know what happened to me that night other than the Holy Spirit came into that room and that simple prayer, my life changed. The following day, my friend had, she was over. She was a wild, crazy girl. I said, hey, listen, I thought people went to church with a polyester dress. My hair was really long and it was black and long hair. I put it up in a chopstick and I said, I think they go to church in an ugly polyester dress. Do you have one? So I borrowed her ugly polyester dress. I felt like an idiot. And I put on her ugly dress and I thought, I got the phone book. She goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to go to church. Can you watch my kids? She goes, church? What's wrong with you? I said, don't ask. I'm going to go to church. So I got the phone book. And you got to remember, months had passed since the young lady had talked to me. So I'm going down the line of the phone book. I'm going, oh, my gosh, how do you know what church to go to? Boom. I suddenly remembered, on the corner of Boulder and Weber, if you ever need a change. I walked into that church that morning. I felt like an idiot. Everybody had blue jeans on and regular clothes. I thought, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. But you got to remember, I was still pretty much on cocaine. So all of a sudden I felt nervous. All of a sudden I felt paranoid. Thank God for a good usher. A good usher makes all the difference in the whole wide world. That usher came right up to me and he knew, he must have known I'd never been to church. He came, I'll never forget his name, Ted. Ted Becerra is his name. I never forgot it. 43 years ago, he came up to me and said, "Hi, what's your name?" And I looked at him. I said, "My name is Luana." He said, "My name is Ted." He said, "This is your first time here?" I said, "Yes." He goes, "Come on, let me get you a seat." And thank God he took me up in the corner of the mezzanine in one area where I couldn't get out because I was very insecure. And I couldn't get out unless I had to pass everybody. Now, remember, I'd never been to church. I'd never read the Bible. So here I am sitting in this church and I'm paranoid and I'm thinking, get out of here. Get out of here. Go. And I'm thinking, I got to get out of here. You know, what am I doing here? But thank God for the Holy Spirit. He just kind of kept me in that seat. I don't remember what the sermon was, but all I remember is at the end of the sermon, they had an altar call. And I remember I felt like somebody was picking me up by the collar and leading me down to the altar. And all I remember is I didn't even know how to pray. And a young girl came up to me. I'll never forget her name, Mary Clock. She came up to me and said, "Hi. Would you like to pray?" And I looked at her and said, "I don't know how to pray." She goes, "No problem." She had a southern accent. "No problem, honey. I'll help you." And she said, "Let's get on our knees." I looked down the altar. There was like 12 other people that were at the altar. And she led me in the most simple prayer ever. "Jesus, I know I'm a sinner." She goes, "Just repeat after me. Forgive me of my sins. I know I need to know you. Amen." That prayer was so simple, but I remember looking down at that carpet and something powerful happened to me. I got up, they called everybody up to a back room, and I had never been to church. I remember the guy back there said, "You know, a couple of keys to help you. Be here every time the doors open. Read your Bible every day." And then he said, "Anybody have any questions?" I lifted my hand. I said, "Do you have a schedule?" Because I didn't know anything about church. And he goes, "Yes." He goes, "Do you have a Bible?" I said, "No, sir." He goes, "Have you ever had a Bible?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "Have you ever been to church?" I said, "No, sir." He goes, "Somebody get her a schedule. Somebody get her a Bible." And sure enough, I drove 2 blocks and I pulled over because something inside was happening. I put my hand on the steering wheel and I broke down for the first time and I cried and cried. I mean, a wailing cry in my car over that steering wheel and tears were just pouring. I think what God was doing, because my husband had been murdered, all the rejection, all the brokenness, I think at that very moment, the Holy Spirit came into that car. And he was breaking through the walls of brokenness and the barrier. And God did something powerful in my life. And I have never been the same. And that was 43 years ago. My whole life changed.
That is Dr. Luana Steins with A Touch From Above, a new program here on K-Right Radio that airs weekdays at 4 p.m. We're so excited to have you. What an amazing story. Coming to Jesus is not always easy. Your testimony is exactly that. What are some key themes or topics we're excited to explore with your audience on A Touch From Above?
Key things. I think my heartbeat for our ministry is to save and seek that which is lost. There are those that listen to radio, those that are even Christians, they're struggling.
Yeah.
They're struggling. You know, there are so many out there that are hurting and they're broken. And God has called me to help them understand that when your heart is hit, don't quit. And God is able to bring you up out of the worst pit. Hello, I've been there, done that. And God, with his mercy and grace, I know I'm called to America. God has called me to reach America. And there are a lot of broken people out there that are, even as Christians, still bound by alcohol, still bound by crystal meth. There's moms that are broken. There's mom and dads that are tore apart, and young kids that are feeling insecure, and teenagers, and poor these young girls today trying to find who they are. So what do? They did like I did, go out and try to buy a miniskirt and try to live according to the world. But that's not what God wants for them.
What would you want to say to the 15-year-old now?
I would want to say to the 15-year-old girl, don't let the world trap you. Do not follow the garbage of Hollywood and everything you see on television, that you're created for greatness, and God has a plan that is so awesome. And he says these words, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou would prosper, be in health, even as thy soul does prosper." Your soul wants to prosper. Jesus wants your soul. And that's the emotion of man. That's the inward man. Mm-hmm. And when that young teenager begins to discover who they are, oh my goodness, there is no stopping them.
That's right. It's so true. And there's so many different gifts, right, that we all carry, the spiritual gifts. And I gotta say, I feel like yours is not just teaching, but it's also encouragement. It's faith, because you had to have a lot of faith to get where you were to where you are today. You've gone through so much. There's mercy in you. I mean, what a beautiful human being. You are not the person you once were. You have blossomed into such an amazing faith story for Jesus. And I think with that encouragement, it's like, all things truly are possible. You made me gasp for the first time on my own show. And I'm like, what happened there? I was not prepared for that. That is not in your bio. It's very moving and it's very sad. But I'm so grateful that you were able to overcome that. You came to know Jesus, and now you get to share your story and bring people to build the kingdom with you. I think it's so beautiful. How do you prepare spiritually and practically for each episode?
I do a lot of prayer. I love Bible reading. Mm-hmm. You know, every morning we have a Bible reading, even on Facebook. You know, we used to have it on our conference line, but we got so many people, they ended up cutting us off. But anyway, on Facebook, on Dr. Lorna Stein's, we have a morning Bible reading Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
I saw it.
Yeah, and it's about an hour. Yeah. I read through anywhere from 4 chapters to anywhere from 8 chapters, and then we pray together, and I love God's Word. Yeah. And I think prayer and reading God's Word and not getting caught up in all the garbage that there's so many distractions. There's a lot of distractions. And so there's a lot of noise, a lot of distractions. And I think you have to keep your hand to God's plow. You got to keep your eyes on the cross, and you got to just run the race for Jesus. I mean, we have a short life. I mean, think about it. How long do we have? I share with our team, our life on this earth is like one drop of water in a bucket compared to eternity.
Yes.
Because eternity, the clock stops. It's forever and ever. Mm-hmm. So all that we have to do today is to make impact for Jesus. Let's take every day and make that impact for him.
Yes, I love that. Yes, absolutely. I agree. How do you hope a touch from above will impact K-Bright listeners and the broader community?
I think a touch from above. Also, we have a prayer mountain.
Yes.
25 amazing, beautiful acres. We have 12 amazing little tiny simple cabins for people to get away to pray and fast. I think my greatest thing to impart in people is God is a God who hears our prayers. Yes. It's not how you pray, it's pray. Yes. It's just cry out. Cry out. What does the psalmist said? I cried out to the Lord and he heard my cry. And when God's people understand that the prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much, and you can change a nation on your knees, you can change your whole life, you can change your situation, you can change your family. I think a touch from above and the prayer mountain is the biggest key is prayer. We've got to get back to prayer. Our nation needs a miracle today. And the only way it's going to happen, it's not through politics, although that's important to have the right people in position. But that's not the key. The biggest key is J-E-S-U-S. Pray, pray, and pray.
Will you tell us how we can get involved or even visit Prayer Mountain? I saw the pictures online. People can go to atouchfromabove.org. Or they can email you at drluana@atouchfromabove.org or even call you at 760-315-1967. It is in Ramona, so it's, how long would you say how far it is from here in Costa Mesa?
I think it was only an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It was an hour and a half drive. But you know what? It's amazing. We have people come from LA.
Yeah.
We have people come from Florida. We have our beautiful wooden tabernacle, and I think we have 28 flags.
Yes,
of all
I
the pastors that have been to the Prayer Mountain.
Yeah.
And these are pastors in America that we have a pastor that comes from Russia. He
yeah.
stays in one of the prayer closets. He stayed for 8 hours praying in that prayer grotto. We have wonderful pastors that are from Orange County in Los Angeles, from Eritrea, Africa, crying out to God. We have Israel, Russia. We have all kinds of different pastors from the Philippines, from Korea, from Mexico. So I think that the amazing thing is those that are really serious and want to change, they'll make time. Do you know Jesus went up to the mountain to pray?
Absolutely.
He went up to the mountain to pray.
Yeah.
And I think that if we get so busy, people say, I'm going to pray at home. Well, yeah, you can. It's important. But let's face it. The clothes need to be washed, the phone rings, the internet, the television, mom, dad, mama,
yep.
all kinds of, ruff, 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 the dog, the cat, you know, it's like, Calgon, take me away. You just think, oh my gosh, you know, and you try to pray, but when you separate yourself
yes.
and you go up to the mountain and there's no televisions in any of the cabins, none. There's a beautiful desk. There's a nice bed if you're going to stay and fast and pray for several days. And there's beautiful trails. So it's you, God, you and Jesus. What are you going to do? You're going to hear from him. That's what's going to happen.
Is there any Wi-Fi?
They can use Wi-Fi on their phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Use their Wi-Fi.
Okay. I'm very interested. I'm very, very interested.
You'll have to come and visit.
I would love
you
to.
Joel.
25 acres, 12 cabins. And then I saw like all of the seating. And I want to say quad, but what would you call that space?
That was a tabernacle.
The tabernacle.
It's a beautiful. We're a church without walls. We don't have any walls.
Okay, so that's what I saw. So it is. Okay, yeah. It's outside and it is on the mountain.
It's on the mountain.
It's so like refreshing looking. Like,
it's beautiful.
Yes.
I can't even explain. It's really, when you're there and you're sitting down and you, every once in a while, you see the birds, they'll yeah. come into the tabernacle. You
Aww.
See a little squirrel, you know, you look and you see the beautiful wind blowing through the trees. It's like God's whispering his love song
so
to us.
Cool.
And it's nice because, you know, I tell people dress warm in the winter because we do have little roll down walls that we can roll down.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's clear as well. So people can still see.
Wow.
I believe when Jesus, I don't think he was always caught up in the temple. I think he was doing the sermons on the mount. He was out in the field. And that's what I think the Prayer Mountain feels like.
Yeah.
Place where Jesus would be just be sitting there
yes.
sharing his word.
I love that. I want to give people the information. Again, it's attouchfromabove.org. We're talking about the Prayer Mountain with Dr. Luana Steins. It is at 16145 Highway 67 in Ramona, California. As she mentioned, it's less than 2 hours away. An hour and 20, I think it really is, from Costa Mesa. If there was a time to go, I think our nation and our people need it now. You can go to her website, which is atouchfromabove.org. I'd love to visit. I know there's a lot of things going on in today's world. I really want to touch on what happened on September 10th with Charlie Kirk, an American martyr, really.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, I was in my studio at the Prayer Mountain, and I was doing a little bit of recording, And my phone went off in the news, and I remember turning like this, and I said, I looked, and I thought, oh, no way, because they hadn't given the news that he had died, but just that he had been shot. And I tell you, I just stopped right in my tracks, and I said, oh, dear God, have mercy. Have mercy. And you're right. He was a powerful, young, on fire, Christian, bold. The Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. And I'm telling you what, we need to rise up like never before in these last days. And I pray, I know for a fact that his death is not in vain. And I know he's touched millions, millions across the United States of America and probably even around the globe. And why did they do that? Because people hate truth.
Yes.
But the Christians have to rise up. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
And it is the truth that's going to set the captives free. And my heart goes out for his wife. My heart goes out for his two beautiful children. And we're keeping them in prayer from our prayer mountain. And keeping our nation. Our nation needs Jesus.
Yes. Amen. That's so funny you mentioned bold as a lion, Proverbs 28. That's actually one of our favorite Bible verses here, so much so that we put it on a t-shirt.
Yay!
So I was like, we are on the same page. I also want to give some love to the fact that you are not just a teacher, but also a book author. So I know you have a lot of books out. Will you give us some information on your latest book?
Well, my number one book is A Mother's Story, which shares my story. Mm. And that's my number one bestseller book. And it's small, but it touches the hearts of many. And that to me is probably one of the most important books out there because it just tells my testimony. And my second book is Mission America. And Mission America is a journal. We went across the U.S. preaching the gospel. And that was a step of faith.
Wow.
God said, go and preach the gospel and across the entire United States to preach on every state capital of the United States of America. We took 250,000 gospel tracts, 250 chairs, and a Jesus trailer and my Jesus truck and five women. And we went across the entire United States. But this is what is amazing when you talk about faith. When the Lord told me that, and remember, I'm still building the prayer mountain, getting through the major use permit. I said, Lord, okay, if you want me to do that, God, okay, you have to do something because, Lord, this is a big thing. You have to bring me $1,000 and I know that you want me to do this.
Wow.
Well, lo and behold, the next morning, a precious pastor from Vietnam, he comes, I could barely understand him. He was so precious. He goes, oh, da, 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 Holy Spirit, tell me, bring you this money. And I said, excuse me? And he goes, Pastor, Holy Spirit, woke me up, bring you this envelope. And I said, okay, thank you. He came up to the prayer mountain. I opened the envelope and it was $1,000. And I looked at him and I go, oh my goodness, thank you so much. I go, guess what I'm doing? I'm going to go across America to preach the gospel. And he goes,
goodness.
Oh, we'll pray for you. Bye. Bye. And he left. And it's like, oh, I got to go across the U.S. And we started off with $1,000. If you do the math, we went to over 10,000 miles.
Wow.
How do you get 10,000 miles out of $1,000?
God.
Exactly. And every time we would go to a city and we were about running out of gas, got to remember my big Jesus trailer said, our hope, Jesus, with this, the United States flag, the Statue of Liberty. And it said, our hope, Jesus Christ on the great big trailer. And so we'd just pull over and we'd pray and somebody would drive up and say, what is this all about? I said, well, we're on Mission America. We're passing out gospel tracts. They go, well, I want to be a part of this. They wouldn't have no clue. We were almost out of gas. They would reach into their wallet and they would pull out a couple hundred dollars, say, here. I said, you don't know this, but we were running out of gas. Thank you so much. And I'm telling you what, God took care of us every step of the way.
Wow, that's grit and love.
So that's my second book, Mission America. The next one is Golden Nuggets. Those are just short stories that I wrote. And A Woman Called to God. That one goes into depth. So many times as a woman, many people say, you know, and I think, I don't think the churches mean to do it, but it's almost like they put women in a second class category. But Jesus, if you read through the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the women were powerful. Yes. And if you read the last chapter of Romans, he even had women that were apostles there. And I think what has happened, and the cover of my book, A Woman Called to God, it looks like the cover I put where the cover looks like almost like a burqa. And it's because the reason I did that was because I don't even think that a lot of women don't understand their calling, and they've allowed people to put a religious burqa on them to keep them under this bondage when God wants the whole army. God wants both men, women, teenagers, children. God wants everyone in his marching army to go forth and take the land. So Mission, A Woman Called to God is my last book. And now I'm working on another one, and it's Not Okay to Be Gay.
Wow. That's a bold one. It's Not Okay to Be Gay. Well, I can see what it's going to be about. So It's Not Okay to Be Gay will be available at atouchfromabove.org coming soon. But for now, we have A Mother Story, Mission America, Golden Nuggets, A Woman Called of God. For listeners tuning in and wanting to connect with you, where can they go?
You can go to our website, atouchfromabove.org, or you can write to me. P.O. Box 2800, Ramona, California, 92065. Again, A Touch From Above, Dr. Luana Steins. P.O. Box 2800, Ramona, California, 92065. Or you can call 760-315-1967. Or A Church Alive is worth a drive. Come up to the prayer mountain.
Yes.
Spend some time in prayer, you know, just... You know, call, make an appointment. If you want to come up to pray, it's so important because we have only a few cabins. We have a total of 12 cabins. Our goal in the future is 20, but we have 12 cabins now, but you have to call because if don't, then they're filled. So call and make reservations right away and spend some time away to pray.
I love that. A Church Alive is worth a drive. I'm going to remember that every Sunday because my drive is short. And so anytime I get lazy and I don't want to go and I'd rather stream it, I'm going to say, A Church Alive is worth a drive. My pastor needs me, and so does my congregation.
That's right.
I love that. Joel mentioned that you received some calls from our listeners already. Is there a personal story or testimony from one of them that you'd like to share?
We just received a call day before yesterday, actually, Ooh. Of a young woman who listens to the program. And she said, I'm homeless. I listen to the program every day. And I was so touched. And please pray for me. Another gentleman called. We were only on, I think, what, the second day?
Yeah.
And it was amazing. A wonderful gentleman called from Oceanside. And he said, please pray for me. I struggle with alcohol. I need a miracle. Mm-hmm. So we prayed with him. We also received several emails of just people that just are enjoying the program and they need prayer. And I can't even remember all of them. We had also another gentleman that is coming up to the prayer mountain, listen to the program. He's going to pray and fast for 5 days.
Wow.
He said, I need the Daniel cabin. I'm going to pray and fast.
Oh, wow.
I want to be far away from everybody. I'm going to fast. I just need God to touch me.
As you launch this new season, is there a scripture or word of encouragement you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yes. One of my favorite. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou would prosper, be in health, even as your soul does prosper. John wrote that scripture for us in 3 John. And it's so important that God has so much for us. He has blessings. He has health. He has peace. He has victory in every situation, even in the storms of life. God wants to bring the peace that surpasses all understanding. But our soul must prosper. How does the soul prosper? Understanding God's word. If you're a doer of God's word, not only a hearer, your whole life begins to change.
What would you say led you here? Like what called you to come here to Cape Wright?
I think what really I was in prayer And I really felt like the Lord said, call him. He had told me for about a month, in my spirit, call him, call him. And finally, one day, my assistant, who's been working with me for over 42 years, she said, well, you better call him. I said, I better call him. And, you know, I didn't know a whole lot, but when I started listening, I just thought, oh my gosh, I love K-Bride. Mm. I love this program because it's really Jesus-minded.
Yes.
And it really is bold, righteous truth. And I loved that. That's my calling. My calling is to be bold as a lion, to bring the truth, whether you like it or not. I love you. And so you don't like it when the doctor says you have cancer and that scalpel goes in and cuts it out. Well, when people have sin, they don't realize that the word of God is a double-edged sword. It goes in and it comes out. And what for what purpose? To set the captives free. Yes. And to bring the truth. The truth today is needed. And it's so important. God's word.
So, so good. And the fun thing is that it's a new program here on K-Bride Radio. So she airs every weekday at 4 p.m. If you enjoyed this interview, tune in at 4 p.m. Write to her. She has all the information is at kbrightradio.com. She has her own program page. And if not, you can go to atouchfromabove.org. You can buy any of her books at her bookstore on her shop there. And I just want to say thank you. It wasn't an easy drive. You know, it is far. But to give us your time, knowing how busy your schedule is, I'm grateful. And I feel very honored and blessed to have you in the studio. I feel like I learned a lot. I felt a lot. And I look forward to hearing many more of your messages, whether on the radio or here in the studio.
Teresa, thank you. Thank you. And thank K-Bride Radio. Thank you, Joel. I've talked to him several times through email. What a blessing. It's just so easy to make contact. And what an honor it is to be on the air here. I am excited. And I want to encourage the people to support everything that comes in. My books, I donated all of my books for one purpose, to preach the gospel and build a prayer mountain. Every single penny that comes in goes for preaching the gospel on radio and to build a prayer mountain for God's people to come and pray.
Amen.
All of it, every bit that comes in. So if you want to support, just buy a book, buy a book, buy a book. And in time, we're making t-shirts. So buy a book, buy a t-shirt, support A Touch From Above.
Wait, also a CD, because you like to sing, apparently. So give us a little taste right now, Dr. Luana Stein.
Oh, my goodness. Well, my music CD is called A Cup of Salvation. It's 10 original songs. And when I recorded that, I went into the studio. I was going through the hardest trial of my Christian walk. And I remember being in the studio and tears were just pouring down my eyes, trying to get through a song. And on my program, on every single program, they can hear a little bit of the music. In fact, one of your callers called in. She's blind. She was listening to the music of the CD and she said, I am blind. I would love to have your CD.
I think I know who you're talking about. She's a regular listener.
Yeah, so we're sending her a CD.
Beautiful.
We're going to send that to her. Just said, you know what? Thank you for listening. We're going to send you that CD. I will lift up the cup of salvation, and call on the name of the Lord Most High. I praise and I worship you, Lord.
Yes, that was so good. I want a copy of your CD right now. People can buy it also at your shop, atouchfromabove.org. Dr. Luana Steins, thank you so much for being in the studio today here at K-Bride Radio.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
This has been In the Studio, a public affairs presentation of the Crawford Media Group. Please email us your comments, suggestions, and ideas to to publicaffairs@crawfordbroadcasting.com. Again, that's publicaffairs@crawfordbroadcasting.com.